Ay, 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 ay,
Chaver, it's always a schus to be together. Erev Shabbos Kodesh. In these very holy days, you make Svira. Chol HaMoed. Between the Yimei HaGeula of Pesach and Shavuos. Before we begin, just all the Torah tonight, all the Chizuk, all the Zoyrus. The Lenishmas, a very special Yid. It's all being sponsored by my Hilge Talmud, Yidid Nafshi. And his Eishes Chayil, Rav Ari, and Rachi Mirzov. Lil Nishmas, Ari's Saba, Ari's grandfather, Rav Ruvain, Ben Rav Chaim, Zecher Tzadikah Shevracha. And how appropriate to be, his Yortzai was a couple days ago, how appropriate to be on Yom HaShoah, or the night after Yom HaShoah, as he was a Kaddish Tikkun survivor. He was someone who had the will to rebuild the beautiful mishpacha, shomer Torah mitzvos. And he said his survival, his geula is Yeshua, he used to say all the time, was all because of his emunah. That he held on to his emunah like he'd hold on to a table, he said. Emes is every single survivor, every single kaddish yid, but mir tashem. So the Torah should be a big schus for his neshama. It should be a big schus for Rav Ari and Rechi, for Jisimcha and Bracha and their mishpacha, for only good things. Zoyche, he should be a male tshoyshe for the beautiful mishpacha until v'zoyche to be dancing with him to gula shleim b'mehar v'eino. Before we get into the Torah tonight, what I want to really speak about tonight, I cannot start, especially just after mentioning Rabbi Ari Zayde and his Amunah, to start tonight with a story. I heard this story earlier today. I heard the story once before, but I've been trembling ever since. And I feel like it will change the rest of my life. Can't tell you that for sure because I'm a lowly human being who often should change my life based on certain schusim to that I'd here come. And unfortunately don't live up to who I'm supposed to be all the time. Come over here. You should, no, there's room. More room over here. I just started. So we had this chus today, as we said, was Yom HaShoah. I was thinking about it, you know, earlier today, this came to me, I shared this with my shir this morning. You know, we always mention Zachar, Yom HaShoah, we have to remember. We borrow the phrase from Zechiras of Amalek, right? From Parshas Zachar. And over there we know in the Psukim, it says Zachar al Tishkach. That we have to remember Amalek and al Tishkach, we can't forget. To remember to destroy Amalek, and we can't forget. I just thought about it, you know, it's redundant. That's saying the same thing from two sides of the coin. To remember is to not forget is to remember. Why do I have to say it twice? Zachar al Tishkach. So I believe Pshat is as follows, and we'll apply it to the Holocaust. I mean, by Amalek, Pasha Pshat is that al Tishkach might just mean don't forget, and we have to have the machshav and think about it. Zachar means bepeh, and Zachar means we have to read Parsha Zachar. We have that chiyuv every year, and we do before Purim. But maybe you could suggest as follows, and we'll just apply it to the Holocaust too. And that is that vada al tishkach. We can't forget what our oivim, what our enemies did to us, how they destroyed 6 million of our parents and our grandparents, our babis and our zaydis. We have to give that over to the next door. And especially us in this room. You know, we in this room, Because we at least had the schus to meet many kedoshim over the years. Some of our own grandparents and others' grandparents. And hear from those kedoshim. Each one, kaddish tegiyid. Each one, you meet them, you should ask for a bracha. Because if we're not zoichim Mashiach lo aleinu, you see, when your children are your age, if we're not zoichim Mashiach lo aleinu, seemingly, b'derech teva, they're not going to have kedoshim to hear from firsthand. You're going to have to tell them, I heard this from those who were there. Emes, just think about that for a moment. It's a scary thought. Hopefully it won't be, because we're going to be zoichim Mashiach, but it's so important to hear from the kedoshim, to talk to the kedoshim, to learn from. So first is Altishkach, we can't forget. And we have to know. So what's Zachar? There's two aspects that I look at the Holocaust, and to me more important is the Zachar aspect and Altishkach. And this is what Zachar is to me. Altishkach is all the terrible atrocities and everything that happened to us. All of the Churban. But you know, within the story of the Holocaust, within all the Kedoshim that survived, was so much Chizik as well, right? I mean, you hear every Yid that was Meiser Nefesh for mitzvahs, every Yid that with their emunah, after seeing Gehenna al Aretz, after seeing hell on earth, rebuilt families, Shomer Torah mitzvahs. The Ma'esh Yischael's, Zaidi and Bavi, who survived and lost everything, and rebuilt, and families, every single child, grandchild, great-grandchild, Shomer Torah mitzvahs. It's Nisim. And to hear the stories like Yedid Nafshi, Reb Leibel Zisman, Zeichat Adichai Shavracha, who had a pair of tefillin in Auschwitz. And Nisim Gluyim, how he had tefillin in Auschwitz and would put on his tefillin every single day in Auschwitz. And Navi Minsky Rebbe, Zeichat Adichai Shavracha, would come and put on his tefillin in Auschwitz. And knowing that if they're caught one time, they're all killed. The Mesiras Nefesh, it's such a chizik. There's so many, every story, the story of Nisim Gluyim, every story is so much full of chizik in our observance of mitzvahs. And that's what I think the Zachar is. Altishkach, all the terrible death and suffering and persecution, but also Zachar, all the chizik. Zachar, those Jews that were most in nefesh for Torah and mitzvahs. Those Jews like Rabbi Shmuel Spier, the Blizhava Rebbe, who lit a Chanukah licht in Bergen-Belsen, and said that Shechianu v'kimanu v'yanu l'zman hazeh, that famous story. And I had the schus to be with one this morning. To be with Tzadik, a Kaddish, Yisrael Uri's grandfather, Yisrael Uri Zaidi, Shimon Felder. Now I know Chaim Shimon. I know Shimon. I didn't know it was Chaim Shimon. Now I learned it's Chaim Shimon. Let me just tell you one story. Just as a hakadama, because this is why we're going to do all the learning we're doing, because of Yidden like this. So Shimon Felder is a little boy, 6 or 7 years old. And he's on a death march. We'll call it a death march. It wasn't a march in order. It wasn't a death march per se, and a death march like looking to kill us, but everything was looking to kill us. And he was on a death march because it was in a blizzard, in the freezing cold, snow 2 feet high, no food, no water, people dropping dead left and right. 10 kilometers, not knowing where he was going, he was headed to Bergen-Belsen. He's on this death march with his mother, with his grandmother, with his sister. His grandmother, you want to hear about his grandmother? You want to hear about Yisrael Uri's right here. About his great-grandmother? His great-grandmother throughout was a survivor and survived the camps through Bergen-Belsen and other camps. Never went a time without covering her hair. And said all of Tehillim every single day Baal Peh. You hear what? We don't have people like this anymore. All of Tehillim every single day Baal Peh. So they're on this death march. And Yisrael Uri's grandmother, his great grandmother, that was your great great grandmother who said all of Tehillim, right? It was your grandfather's grandmother. Yeah. Great, great, yeah. So Yisrael Uri's great grandmother, Shimon Felder's mother, was on this march, and with right next to him, they're walking, he's a little boy, 6, 7 years old. And she was feeling very tired, and she closed her eyes for a couple seconds. People were dropping left and right. And she opens up her eyes, and Shimon's gone. She doesn't see her son. And she's mamish, petrified. What happened? She's looking all over for a few, even just for a few seconds. She doesn't see her son. Suddenly she finds her son, maybe a few feet away, with a Nazi soldier holding her son, holding Shimon in one hand, with a gun pointed in the other hand. This is how she sees her son in this death march in a blizzard. And she mamish thinks that's it with her son. And then she suddenly sees the Nazi like push him away and send him back, and he runs to her. And he says, "What happened? Where'd you go? What happened with this Nazi?" So I heard this from Shimon, from Chaim Shimon Felder this morning. You hear this? Listen, I heard this from him. He said to his mother that he was walking, this little boy, in this death march, and he saw a few feet away in the snow what looked to him like a sitter. So he had to go pick up the sitter. Because a yid doesn't let a sitter be on the floor. He had to go pick it up and give it a kiss. How could he let the sitter be on the floor? Imagine this little boy is on this death march. How could he let the sitter be on the floor? So he went to pick up the sitter and give the sitter a kiss and take it. And he got there. He thought it was, and it was. It was a sitter. It said in Dutch on the front, like I have a picture I can show you guys after. It said in Dutch, prayer book. He picked up the sitter. But the Nazi that was there saw him do this and pulled him and grabbed him and said, "What are you doing? Little boy, what are you doing? Why are you not marching?" And in his innocence and purity and tamimistic, he looks at this Nazi soldier. And he said, "Well, there was a prayer book on the floor, and we don't allow prayer books to be on the floor. We have to have respect. And when we see a prayer book on the floor, I was picking it up to kiss it." Now, what would 99% of Nazis do at that moment? Shoot him in the head. That would have been the last words out of his mouth. But somehow, Nisim Gluyim, the Nazi looks at him after hearing this and says, "You're a good little boy. Go back to your mother." And he went back to his mother and he told this story to his mother. In 42 years in this world, I haven't accomplished 1/100th of what Shimon Felder accomplished in those moments as a 7-year-old. To be Moiser Nefesh with such a Muna Pshuta for the Rabbeinu Shalom, to understand, forget about, we make so many cheshbonos and we know too much sometimes, you know. We're too much of the Chacham. We have to be a little more of the Tam, as Rav Nachman says. And we're always cheshbening and, just pashtus. There's a sitter on the floor. I have to pick it up and give it a kiss and take care of it. Okay, so I don't have a chiv to because a Nazi might kill me. Yeah, there's so many cheshbonos. It's not about cheshbonos sometimes. It's a Muna Pshuta. It's incredible. And that's why we're here, because of people like this. That's why you're here, Yisrael Uri. And that's why, how can we not give our life to Hashem and to Torah and to Mitzvahs and get together at midnight on Erev Shabbos Kodesh to learn Torah? Because that's a little Mesiris Nefesh. One millionth of Shimon Felder's Mesiris Nefesh. And not only did I hear this story from him, he picked up that sitter and he took that sitter with him to Bergen-Belsen and davened from that sitter. And that sitter was underneath the chuppah of Simcha, of my Talmud, of Yisrael Uri's brother, at his chasana with Shira. They used that sitter. And this morning, I saw that sitter, and I held that sitter, and I asked your grandfather, and he allowed me, and it was the most special moment. And I davened, and just said Matovu, that was what I opened up to, from that sitter. That sitter, Kodesh Kedashim, is there a holier sitter in the world? So when you hear something like that, how can we not just give over ourselves to Hashem in whatever way we can? How can we not get together? People sometimes say, "Rebbe, I would love to come to Thursday night. I love it, I listen, but I can't come. It's too late. Too late, I'm tired." I think Shimon was tired on that death march too. It's too tired to pick up the sitter, you know. Too tired. You hear stories like this, you're no longer tired. No longer tired. That we have the schus to be here because of Jews like this. You what a zayda! I went over afterwards. He gave me a bracha. I mean, our families go back. I mean, your grandparents are close with my grandparents. My grandfather, Zechazad Kashbarachu, Badal Chai, my grandmother. they were like good friends. I don't even know all the stories they tell you, but so chevra, halavai, we should have such a muna. The only way we'll have such a muna is through Torah. We still have Torah, the same Torah. So let's learn. Let's learn. Let's learn and let's give ourselves to Rabban Shalom. So chevra, in the days of Sfiras HaOmer, in the days of Sfiras HaOmer, are big days. And we all know there's a famous machloikes whether Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah d'oraisa or a mitzvah d'rabban. And seemingly pashtus is it a mitzvah d'rabban? Because if you open up the pesukim, obviously it was a mitzvah d'oraisa bizman beis hamikdash. But if you open up the pesukim in Parashas Amar, it's based on and linked to the korbanos that we brought and we bring mimachas shabbos miyom haviachem es omer tenufa. Last time I checked, we didn't bring a carbon omer this year. So if you don't bring a carbon omer, how can you say it's d'oraisa? We don't. It's the counting of Sfiras HaOmer is from the carbon omer to the carbon of Shavuos. We don't have these carbonos. It's man based on Migdash. There'll be a Sfiras d'oraisa. Now it should be a Sfiras d'rabbanan. But the Ran and others hold it d'oraisa. Even Bizman Hazeh. How could it be d'oraisa Bizman Hazeh? So they explain that those, and maybe makes a lot more sense to Machshava, but those psukim and the linkage to the karbanos is just giving us a time period. So we're, but obviously we're not really, it's not a mitzvah to count from one karban to another. Where else do we find that? What's so chashiv to count from one karban to another karban? There's something very special about this counting that needs to be for all eternity, whether we have Beis HaMikdash or not. That's just telling us when we do it. So then what is it all about? So famously you all know, but I'll read you from the words of the Chinuch, because they're so precious. So the Chinuch says, what is Sfiras HaOmer all about if it's d'oraisa bizman hazeh? L'fi shekol ikron sheyisrael eino ela Torah. The ikr of all of our lives is Torah. The ikr is not stocks, and the ikr is not chves nish, the NBA playoffs. And the ikr is not even some good ribs at a barbecue on my Pesach program. That's enjoyable. That could be okay. In simchol bas v'yayin, you could. We like to play around, right? We could cheshbin, but lemaisa, we could rationalize anything's like the biggest mitzvah in the world. You know, lishma. What do you mean? Gemara minarik psachim in simchol bas v'yayin. Basar, I'm eating this lishma. I don't know. Ikrin shel kol ikrin shel Yisrael ein al Torah. Mivnei haTorah nivri shemayim v'aretz v'Yisrael. We were created. The world was created because of Torah. V'ikur v'asiba shaniglu v'yatu mitzrayim kidei shekabla Torah b'sinai v'kaimua. The whole reason we left Mitzrayim, we were taken out of Mitzrayim, was in order to receive the Torah, in order to accept the Torah. That's why we were redeemed. V'yitachlus atoiva. It's the whole purpose of anything good in this world. Hanechemad mizavim mipazrav mitzukim mitvash. The inyun gadol hu lahem, that inyun of Kabbalah Sador is greater to them and to us, yoser min acheres me'avdus. More than the freedom from Mitzrayim was Kabbalah Torah. Umnei came because of this. Ki kol ikar sheyisrael bavur nigalu, nitztavenu limnos, we're commanded to count. Mimachos yom tel shepesach, after the first day of Pesach, ad yom nesinas haTorah, till the giving of the Torah. Laharus binavshenu, that we should know and feel in our souls. Hachefetz hagodol al hayom hanechbad, that we want so badly that day of Kabbalah HaTorah, the hanechzaf l'libeinu, and our hearts should be yearning for it. Hanechzaf l'libeinu, ke'evad yishaf tzel, like a slave that yearns for shade. V'yimne tamid masai yavo eis hanichzav, and we count, when is that day of yearning going to finally come? That's what the slave is yearning for. That's what we're learning for. We're yearning for. So the Chinuch explains. So you know what the Chinuch is telling each and every one of us? You know what the mechus of Sfiras HaOmer is? You could look at that. This is not a new chinuch to most of us. But I want to focus on something in the chinuch. Most of us have said over the Chinuch, have seen the Chinuch, and think, okay, all Sfiras Omer is so that we're excited in anticipation of Kabbalah's Torah, right? We have the analogy to the, you know, Chvesnesh is a school child counts down to the days when school will be over. We always, we've heard that like every single sphere of our lives, right? But I want to just focus, Pashtus, what that's saying to us. You know what these days then are for? You know what the counting then is all about? Having tshuka for Torah. Having yearning and passion and being excited and wanting. Be nechsaf levavenu. You know what nechsaf is? Kisuf is yearning, desiring, chafetz, wanting it. Having tshuka. That's what these days are for. That's what Sfiras Omer is all about. Do we have a tshuka for Torah? We learn Torah. We learn Torah. We keep Torah. Everybody here puts on tefillin every day. Everyone's wearing tzitzit. Everybody has kovei itim l'Torah, looking around, what a beautiful chevra we have. But is there tshuka? Do I yearn to want more and more and more? Do I wake up in the morning excited that I can't wait to learn Torah? Yes, there are other responsibilities in my life, but do I get back? Do I yearn to get back to the base medrash, back to my Gemara, back to my Mr. Sharm, whatever it might be? Tshuka. You know the Halakha Kedushas Levi, Raditchver? He says that's why we don't make a Shachianu on the mitzvah of Sfira. A lot of discussion about this. Why is there no Shachianu by Sfira Solomar? It's a new mitzvah once a year. Why no Shachianu? And don't tell me, someone says, no, Rebbe, what do you mean? Because there's 49 days. So by the first day, it's not a full year because you ended by the end. It's not a full year ever. You did Sfira. Shachianu doesn't have to be exactly a year. Have a raya, look at Chanukah, right? Chanukah also, the first night is exactly a year. You lit the candles on the eighth night, so it's not a full year till the first night again. We still do make a Shachianu first night of Chanukah, Vada. It's long enough. It's almost a year. It's a new mitzvah. Shachianu v'kimenu v'yanu l'zman hazeh. So suddenly, why not Sfiras Omer, no Shachianu? It's once a year mitzvah. So there's a lot of different answers. The Halakha Berditch for the Kedushas Levi says, because the whole mitzvah is yearning for Kabbalah's Torah. Halavai, I should be there already. I just want to be there. Halavai, I shouldn't need the yearning even. I just want to be in the Torah. So you're not going to make Shachianu when you don't even really want these days. You wish you could skip them all and just be there. You're not excited about these days. You're excited about the goal. So when it's all about the goal, you're not going to make Shachianu on the days leading up to the goal. Because you'd rather not even have those days. But that tells me that the days of Sfira that we're in is all about the tshuka, all about the yearning, all about the desire. The Halakha B'nei Sascher, he says something so beautiful which could explain the following. We all know famously a big machloikes, already machloikes, we're showing him whether Sfiras Omer is considered one long mitzvah, 49 individual mitzvahs, right? That's why it is that we paskin that if you miss an entire day, you no longer can make a bracha because we're choshesh for the sheet of the Bahag, that it's all one big mitzvah. If it was 49 individual mitzvahs, you could make a new bracha even if you miss a night, right? How do we look at it as one big mitzvah? Why does it become suddenly one big mitzvah? If we're doing it 49 times, you don't look at Neres Chanukah as one long mitzvah. It's eight different mitzvahs. It's eight new nights. You miss a night of Chanukah. The next night you light with a bracha. Why suddenly Sfiras Omer? It's one big mitzvah. So the Halakha B'nei Sascher says something so beautiful. He talks about by the Mila, where Avram is doing the bris milah for Yitzchak. And the pasuk says, Vayomal Avram et Yitzchak beno ben shmon asyam. Now Avram circumcised Yitzchak, his son, ben shmon asyam, who's ben shmon asyam. So he says, it should have said, Vayomal Avram et Yitzchak beno biyom hashmini, on the eighth day of his life. What do you mean, ben shmon asyam? So he says, Rashi often says, when you take a lesson of shmonas, similar to shloshes, or shivas, or shenas, it's a lesson of taking that number of days and making it all one unit. Ben Shmonas Yamim is this 8-day unit. And why is this an 8-day unit as opposed to 8 individual days? So he explains, because Avram Vinu legoidel tshukasa lekayim mitzvos boro. He had such tshuka to do the mitzvah of bris milah on his son. He had such desire, such yearning. He was yearning to be mekayim this mitzvah. And therefore, through the yearning, it was shmonas yomim. Not just yom shmini. And therefore, it was all one unit of 8 days. And so too, if all of Sefirot Omer is about our tshuka, our yearning, so we have 49 days, but it becomes one long day. It's one long day of yearning. That's what these days are for, but that's what these days are all about. Chaver, do we have this tshuka? Do we want it so badly? Tzama l'chol nafshi. Tzama l'chol nafshi. Lelokim l'kel chai. Tzama l'chol nafshi lelokim l'kel chai. Tzama l'chol, right? Tzama l'chol nafshi. To be thirsty, to be yearning for it. L'kel lelokim. Why l'kel chai? Because what's the gematria of kel chai? Aleph lamed is what? 31. Ches Yud?
18.
What's 31 plus 18? 49. Tzama l'cha nafshi, we have to have tzama, you have to be desiring, you have to be yearning when it's kel chai. During these 49 days. During these kel chai, gematria 49, you have to be yearning for the Eibishter, yearning for Torah, yearning for Hashem. Torah is Hashem. Torah is the epitome of what Hashem is in this world. We've said it over here, maybe more than any other Torah, the Baal Tanya and Perek Dalet, of every time we learn Torah, we're giving the Eibishter a hug. Torah is the Rebbeinu Shalom. So do I yearn for that? Do I want that? Is there tshuka for that? That's what these days are for. You know how important this tshuka is? Let me explain to you. It's Rebbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says on the words in Avos at the beginning of the fourth parak, Ezu Chacham, Alo Mimi Ko Adam. Who's a Chacham? You want to hear the words of Rabbeinu Yonah? You know what a Chacham is? You think, who do you think a Chacham is? So you think a Chacham was Reb Chaim Kanievsky Zeichet HaKrif Racha. Because Reb Chaim Kanievsky was holding Kol HaTorah Kula. And by the way, many in this room have the schus to have met, and more than met, they've gotten to know and spend time with Labad L'Chaim, Rav Avigdor Nevin Sol Shlita. And some of the Chevers going back this week. And some are even in the old city and have the schus to have him in the Beis Medrash even. You know, Rav Nevin Sol has a very similar Seder Hayom to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, that's all. You know, I've been in Rav Nevin Sol's apartment and seen his notes on all of Shas. His notebooks on all of Shas. You know he has the same things on all of Zohar? Yeah, because Rav Nevin Sol is considered in the Tziyoni world because he was in the army and he lives in the old city. So he'll never be known in the same way in the Welt, the way Reb Chaim was. But he's Kodesh Kedoshim. Kodesh Kedoshim. Anytime you see him, you should ask for a bracha. See him walking. I have such a beautiful picture. I think I have to see. I have it in my office. I took once of him just walking through the old city. I have a video of it also, and he walked through this old city holding his Gemara and learning as he's walking through. And it's amazing, like sometimes in old city, like by the Rove even, like cars come and he's walking and cars are coming. Somehow like he's learning in the Gemara, but he's going around the cars. It's like, but he doesn't look up. I don't know, it's Nisim. It's like but you think his, why is it Talmud Chacham? Is Chacham is because he knows it all? That's not at all. It's Pum Fakir. Listen closely to Rabbeinu Yonah. Amru Chachmea Umos. Ki hayodea koa chachmos. Someone knows all the chachma. Im eino oe vesa chachma. If he doesn't love that chachma, einenu chacham. He's not a chacham. He's not wise. Valotipeshu. He's a fool. Achash einenu oe vesa chachma. Ki hi yadas. Because he doesn't love it. Acha oe vosa. But when you love it, and you desire it. Listen to the Lashon Ben Yuno. Even if you know nothing. Right now, I know nothing. I feel like I know nothing. I walk into the Beis Medrash and look at the walls and I say, I go in my own Beis Medrash and I look and I feel like I know nothing. So many Mesechtas I know almost nothing about. I feel like I know nothing. So, Eino Klum. I know nothing. But if you love it and you misave want it, Harezen nikra chacham. That person's called a chacham. Shall kol panim yasik el chachma, because at least he's looking to reach the chachma. Shechafso ritzono bo, because he wants it and desires it. Ezu chacham halomei bekoldam. Someone who's looking to learn from everybody, who wants it, that's a chacham. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah explains. Someone who has a tshuka for it, that's a talmid chacham. You have to want it. Not just because I'm put in the system and I'm told to go shana aleph and go shana bet and then chves nisht. No, I have to want it. I have to love it. And that's the key to becoming as well. You know, the pasuk says in Daniel, Yahiv chachmasa lechachamim. I'll give chachma to those who are chachamim. I'll only give wisdom to those who are wise. So the obvious question is, what does that mean? Hashem will only give wisdom to those who are wise. So how do you become wise the first time? Where does the chachma come from? I'll only give chachma to those who are chachamim. Like, really? So how does that start? Where does the process begin? The Avos Shalom, the Hilgar of Nachum Mendel Kosov, he says the first step, just like the Rebbeinu Yonah, because the way the Rebbeinu Yonah explained, what's chachma? Tshuka. Meaning, I'll only give chachma to those who have tshuka for it. Those who desire it, those who want it. And that's what these days are for more than anything else in the world. I have to want it. I have to want Torah. I have to want Yer Shemayim. I have to want Emes. You guys, there's not a day that goes by that people, young men, teenagers, different, married, young men, whoever it might be, open up about struggles in Shemir Sanayim. Struggles in Shemir Sanayim. I'm not going to get into it in depth right now, but sometimes you have to ask yourself, you're talking about it, yes? Do you really want it? Do you really, really want it? Do you really want to get rid of it? That's the first step. Do you really have a tshuka? Really. Not because, okay, I feel bad when I do it once in a while, whatever, I know it's not right, and I know it's not good for me, I know it's going to destroy my marriage. Rabbi Cohen told me it's going to destroy my marriage and I'm going to have the wrong expectations. No. Just real tshuka. Real tshuka, hayav chachma l'chacham, then I'll give you the chachma. You want to become a talmid chacham? You have to really want it. You have to really want it. You want to be baal yir shemayim? You have to really want it. You know, the Gemara says, "Akol b'dei shemayim chutz mi yir shemayim." Right? Yir shemayim's up to us. Yir shemayim's up to us. That's what the yir shemayim's up to us. Right? Everyone knows that Gemara. Akol b'dei shemayim chutz mi yir shemayim. What do you mean? Akol b'dei shemayim chutz mi yir shemayim. The pasuk in Vetzchanan. Pasuk. Bring more chairs. There's some maybe. Pasuk in Veschanim. Mi yiten v'hayu levavam v'zel lehem liyirosei. V'lishmar es kol mitzvoisei. Mi yiten v'hayu levavam v'zel lehem liyirosei. Who gives them the ability to fear Hashem? Fear me. It's Hashem. Pasuk saying Hashem is the one who gives us the ability to fear Him. So what do you mean? Akol b'dei shemayim chutz mi yir shemayim. You know, the Hilgah Chasam Sofer explains. You see it also over here, by the way. You see it also, what is on the pasuk in Akev, by the way. So exactly where you'll find that. But anyways, the Chasam Sofer, he says something very beautiful. He says, of course Hashem's the one who gives us your Shemayim. Hashem gives us everything. There's nothing that we have that's not from Hashem. Hashem gives us our eyesight, Hashem gives us our ability to speak, our ability to hear. Every morning we wake up, you gave me everything. You gave me my, of course you give me your Shemayim. But only give it to us if we have a tshuka for it. We're the ones who have to have the tshuka. We're the ones who have to yearn for it. That has to come from us. Our desire for it. You have chachma l'chachamim. But we have to really have desire. You know what it is to really have desire? To really want something? You know, we love Shabbos. We love Shabbos. Everybody here loves Shabbos. How excited are you, especially this week? This was the longest week of the year, you know? Emes, no? And now it feels, Baruch Hashem, we're getting there. But not the longest week of the year. When you end Yontiv, Matzeh Shabbos Kodesh, you went through Yontiv every day. Pesach is called Shabbos. Every day is Shabbos. For Mamish, 8 days were just like Shabbos dick, right? 8 days of Shabbos dick, wherever we were. It doesn't matter, away, home, all this is Narishkeit, secondary. It's all up to you where you are. If you're Kodesh, doesn't matter if you're in Florida, you're in the five towns, you're in Arizona, you're in Panama, you're with Eibishter. It's not like Pesach's beautiful wherever you are. Let's be real. Wherever. If you understand what it's about. If you don't understand what it's about, so then it might be based on your Gashmizdik surroundings, you know? to those of us who want to know what it's about, that's all secondary. Wherever our parents want to be, shkoyach, I'll go. I could have a nice time wherever it is also. I'm not saying that, but the emes of it is ruchnis of it, right? Except for those of you who weren't going to be by Susan Mashiach here, you missed out. But okay, it is what it is. Sorry. And some of you were here and you weren't here. But okay, we forgive you. It's okay. We love you. We love you. It's not personal. I just feel bad for you. Anyways. No, Ben, what do you say? Feel bad for them, right? Daniel needs them, yeah? Sorry, right? Okay, anyways. So this week was like the longest week ever, because when you end, you go through that, and like you yearn for it. Listen, the other long yontif we have is sukkahs, obviously, and it's beautiful and awesome. Sukkahs, you've just had like Rosh Hashanah, you had like loads of yom tov. We've been waiting for Pesach like forever. And we finally have it, and it's incredible. And this year, and then when it ends like on a year like this, where it ends Matzah Shabbos, it's like the longest week of the year, by far. And the days are already very long days already now. It's like, and it's the summer, but we're still like in school. And like, it's like everything about it. This was the longest week of the year. That's how I feel. And then Shabbos. Shabbos Kodesh. How much were we yearning and wanting the Shabbos, you know? And we love Shabbos. It's Kodesh Kodashim. It's like the most incredible day of the year. It's so special. We have it every week. How lucky we are. I speak about this often. It's like I don't understand. I feel so bad for the Umas Olam. Again, I'm really not on any level like a racist or anything like that. I love all people. I'm serious. I'm not. MS, they're wonderful, but like Lameisa, I just feel bad for you. You don't have Shabbos. Like, how do you live in this world without Shabbos? I don't know how you wake up in the morning. No, like any morning, at least we every day know we're gonna have Shabbos in a few days. Hayom Yom Rishon LeShabbos, Yom Sheni LeShabbos. So it's not today, but it'll be in a few days, and I could want it, and I could know it's coming. To live in this world and Shabbos is not coming, and you don't have Shabbos, like what? Like really? I don't know how they live. I don't understand. I'm sorry, I can't understand. I can't comprehend. Like what is Shem Yerachim and Yeshama? What are you doing here? You know. But you know what it is to have a tshuka for Shabbos? To really have a tshuka for Shabbos? Let me tell you another story that I had this chust year today. That Yisrael Uri's grandfather. Tzadik Yisoy Roilim. Everybody here should get in the car. Ask Yisrael Uri to tell you you should go tomorrow and get a bracha from him. We'll have lions at his house with MS. I told you, we have to bring him Thursday night shiur. He should hear these from him, these stories. Will he stay up late enough? What's the story? We'll figure it out. We'll ask him. Thank you so much. So listen to this. If I didn't hear this, see, I'm going to tell it to you. So you could trust me because I heard it from the person it happened to that was there. And I hope you trust me. I don't think you'd be here if you think I tell lies. I don't know why you'd be here. But Mamish, I had this list to hear this from Shimon Felder Shlita this morning. And he said that he was born in Amsterdam, in Holland. And as you know a little bit about the Holocaust, Amsterdam was one of the later places that the Nazis came. But unfortunately, most of the Jews perished in the Holocaust. And he remembers when they started seeing things getting worse and worse, and his father went and left to meet with his uncles to figure out what they were going to do. His father was not home at the time. And the Nazis came and started rounding up all the Yidden in Amsterdam and sending them off to concentration camps in different places. Bergen-Belsen, and Auschwitz, all the Mekoymas. And it's Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos Kodesh, and the table is set, and it was Shabbos during the day, and they're having a beautiful Shabbos, and it was Yisrael Uri's grandfather, and his great-grandmother, and great-great-grandmother, and his sister. And suddenly there's the pounding at the door. And they open up the door, and Nazis are there. And the Nazis are there, and the Chvestash with the guns, with everything. And they start screaming and yelling, "Get all your stuff, get what you want to bring, one bag together. It's time to go, being rounded up, shipping you off." You have a few minutes. You know what Yisrael Uri's great-grandmother did? Imagine this moment. I'm shaking from this moment and all. She looks at the Nazis. And the rest of the family starts like gathering stuff. I read this, he didn't talk about it today, but I read it in the book. They started gathering together stuff. They have to go. What are you going to do? So Yisrael Uri, right here, his great-grandmother, looks at the Nazis and says, "I'm so sorry, we're not going now. We can't go now. Because it's Shabbos. So we don't travel on Shabbos. We're not going to go now." So now again, 99.9% of the time, what the Nazis would have done at that moment was shoot her in the head and gather up the rest of the people or shoot them all. But this particular Nazi, after Yisroel's great-grandmother said, "We're not going now because it's Shabbos, come back tomorrow," looked at her and saw her sincerity and saw who she was and saw her heart and said, "Okay, we'll come back tomorrow." I mean, it doesn't make sense. It's not, I could only tell you this because the person who was there told it to me this morning. So there's no words for that type of emunah. There's no words for that type of life. But what is that's a tshuka for Shabbos? Like I hope I could ever experience 1/10 of in my life. That's tshuka. That's yearning. I yearn for Shabbos. I love Shabbos. I care for Shabbos. That I'm willing to look at a Nazi in the face and say, no, I don't go anywhere on Shabbos. Like, does that make? Do we yearn for our Torah, for our mitzvahs like this? Is that our tshuka? So how are you going to have it? How do we have a tshuka for Torah, a tshuka for mitzvahs, a tshuka for Shabbos, like Shimon Felder, Shlita, like Shimon's mother? How do we have this? You have to realize how chashiv it is. You have to realize how chashiv Torah is, how chashiv mitzvahs is. You have to realize how it's the most precious thing in the world. So then, yes, that's what I'm going to have tshuka for. That's what I'm going to yearn for. That's what I'm going to want. That's what I'm going to mizave for. That's what I'm going to dream about and think about and yearn for every minute, more than anything else in life. Not for money and luxuries, and for Torah, for mitzvahs. When I have that, I don't need anything else. Darshu Hashem, lo yachzru chol tov. Darshu Hashem, those who seek God and have Torah and have mitzvahs, are lo yachzru chol tov, are not lacking anything. If we realize that, if we had Torah, we'd be lacking nothing. I don't need anything else. Then I'd have real tshuva for it. I remember so many times being in Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zecher Tzadikas Shevracha's apartment. And I remember so many times, not just being in Rav Chaim's apartment, but being in his Shvera's apartment. You know who his Shvera was, Chevra? Rav Yashiv Zecher Tzadikas Shevracha. And I probably was, maybe 50 times in my life by Rav Yashiv. Maybe about 15 times by Rav Chaim. But Rav Yashiv, when I was learning in Eretz Yisrael, whenever I was in Yerushalayim for Shabbos, every Matzah Shabbos I'd go daven with him in his house. People didn't know that he davened. Later in his life, people found out and it started getting crazy. But a few years later, but when I used to go daven Meirav with him. And it was just like 10 of us, 15 of us in his apartment. And he'd get to speak to him afterwards. He'd make Abdullah for us. I used to say Kiddush Levana with him. I used to go to him often. Have a beautiful picture with him. Just even though it was hard to get a picture with him. His grandson was a gava. I didn't like it at all. He used to not, but Baruch Hashem was zeichel one time. You can see in the library over there. And I remember looking around his apartment, looking around Rav Chaim's apartment, and like, what did they have? Nothing. Rav Yashiv's apartment, let me explain to you what it was. You went up the steps. It was upstairs. Later in his life, they built him an elevator because he was upstairs. But you went in, and there was a small entrance room. There was a table with a few chairs. Maybe 4 or 5 people could stand. So right with the kitchen, I don't think 3 people could fit in the kitchen. I don't think so. Then right in front of that was his bedroom, which you saw 2 beds and like a dresser in between. That was the and maybe like a foot in between the 2 beds for walking. And the whole length of it was the size of the beds, pretty much. There was no. And then there was this long hallway, And the hallway, first of all, that entrance room with the table was Svarim on one side, and the hallway was lined on both sides, Svarim to the ceiling. Remember, it's interesting, with the Svarim, I saw he had an art scroll, instead of art scroll, Rabbi Yashiv. If you look in the art scroll, he has a skama from, they must have sent it to him, I don't know who put it there, I don't think he used it much. Pretty sure not. And then you got into one back room, his final room was a bigger room, and he had a bed in one corner, and he had a big table, not big table, a table maybe the size of this. The room was probably around this size, maybe a little bit bigger than this size. A little bit bigger than this size. Surrounded by Svarim, that's where he learned, that's where most of the, where you see the pictures in the movies of Rabbi Yashiv, that's where it was. I remember thinking, it's nothing, he has nothing. He's got no TV, no Xbox, didn't have a phone. Later in his life, he had a golf cart. It was very cute, because to get the little streets of Meir Sharm, to get to the trailer, Davin, and whatever it was, he used to travel in a little golf cart, like Rav Nevinzel has, you know? Darsh Hashem lo yachshu chutov, but he was lacking nothing, because he had it all. He had nechamadim yizazim pazarav misukim mitzvash. No pshat. Rav Eliyahu Lapian explains in Lev Eliyahu. He explains so beautifully. He has a mashal, and he says, there was once a guy who had a disease, he had a machla. And it was mamish, a very serious disease, but as long as he took a particular medication every day, he was fine, could live a full life. One day he was visiting his close friend, and he's in the close friend's house, and he happened to go into the bathroom, and he opened up the medicine cabinet and he was looking around. He saw his friend, that medication that he took, that mamish kept him alive, his friend didn't have it. And mamish starts feeling terrible, his friend. To him, that's the most precious medicine in the world, right? So he comes out of the bathroom and he says to his friend, you know, I'm so sorry, I have to apologize. I know I should not have been looking in your medicine cabinet. The chnes is just like snooping around a little. It's not, you don't do that. But I apologize, but I noticed you don't have such and such a medicine. And like, that's the most important medicine in the world. It's so special. It's so incredible. I'm so sorry. I have some extra. Could I go get you some? I'm going to go get you some. I'm going to go bring you some medicine. And his friend looks at him and says, you fool. To you, it's such a precious medicine because you're not so well and you need that medicine to live. Thank God I'm a healthy individual. To me, that medicine's worthless. It's nothing. I don't need it. Darsha Hashem lo yechzru chol tov. A TV and a nice car and a chvesnish, whatever it is. It's all medicine. So we need that to make us feel good. Rav Yashiv Zechazadish Kilavracha is a joke. I don't need that. I have Torah. I have mitzvahs. I have nechamadim yizavim pazrav masukum mitzvash. I have yikorim mipninim. I have something more precious than anything. I need that. We understood how chashiv it is. We understood it's Kodesh Kedoshim. So then I'm going to have the tshuka for it. Then I'm going to yearn for it. And all I need to do is yearn for it. I'm a Talmud Chacham, as Rabbeinu Yonah says. Right there, right then. Because I'll for sure become. But to want it so badly. You know, today, someone called me up with a particular shayla. And he told me he was in the car with someone. And this person had a kula from a rav. I don't know who the rav is, I'm not questioning that, but that he could listen to music in the car during Sfira. And this person was asking me, does he have a chiv to ask this guy to not turn on the music? Because he doesn't have that kula. So whatever, I explained to him, like I said, listen, if it's for a good reason, like for example, let's say you're driving very, very late at night and you need the music to keep you up, of course that's mutter, right? We know this during Sfira. So if he needs it for a reason such as that, he should keep the music on. That's for you as well, basically. He needs to be safe. So if it's something important, but if it's some reason that doesn't make, I don't know, chesed, whatever it is, so of course he should have cover for you the same way you would have cover for him, and he shouldn't turn the music on if it's not important, even if he has a heter when you're not around. I mean, what's the shayla, no? He should be not, it shouldn't even be a shayla, right? Nothing to talk about. But so I don't know, they call me back, and somehow the heter Again, I'm not questioning. I don't know what this means exactly. But basically, the guy said his heter was that he literally can't live without music. Okay, I'm not going to get into it right now. I don't know exactly what that means. I'm not sure what that means. Trust him, it's MS. I happen to love music. I get it. I mean, I don't... Whatever. I'm not gonna... He can't be without music. But it reminded me of the following story. The Gershon Lapidot was sitting Shiva once. Rav Chaim Shalalev, as a chassad kishvrach, walked in to be Menachem Avil. And Rav Gershon Lapidot was sitting and learning Baba Kama. And we all know that halacha by an avil, we know this from Tisha B'Av, and we're supposed to be like an avil on some level. The Torah is something that brings a simcha, Yishar Misam, Torah Hashem is something, Pekudei Hashem Yishar Misam Chilev. Press it over there, it's, I'm not sure what's going on. But here. So Torah is supposed to bring a simcha, avil is not allowed to learn Torah. Okay, certain Torah for chizik, for, you know, Musar maybe certain... Binyan Avelis, but not Baba Kama, you can't learn Baba Kama. So Rav Chaim Shalalev looks and says, how's the Rav able to learn Baba Kama? So he showed him a Yishalmi that says someone whose life is dependent on Torah, you can't be without Torah, even by an Avil, could sit and learn Torah. And I was thinking when I heard about this today, this young man who needed music. Imagine what it is to be a Yid who needs Torah. I can't be without Torah. If I understood how choshev it was, I understood what it did for me, I understood the simcha really is going to bring me if I actually connected to it, how it brings me to remind me what's emes in this world, the clarity it brings me, the way we live in olam de shikra. I'd want it so badly, I had such tshuka for it. As we said, today was Yom HaShoah, and there were so many Yid and Mamish who were moser nefesh for us, like your grandfather. Like Ari Mirzov's, Rav Ari Mirzov's grandfather. Tzadikim who had such a munah for us. For us to what? For us to come in this world and have beautiful houses and nice cars. Not that there's anything wrong with that, don't get me wrong. I don't mean that. I don't mean there's something wrong with that. I don't want to take it in the wrong way. But that's what it's about. That's where our tshuka is. Zachar. Remember what it's all about. Remember where a tshuka should be. To want to mamish be connected to Torah and to mitzvahs and want Shabbos the way your great grandmother wanted Shabbos. To want Torah the way Rav Gershon Lapidot wanted Torah. To want a sitter and to daven the way Shimon Feld, your grandfather Shlita, wanted that sitter. To build that tshuka. And as the Rabbeinu Yonah says, if you build that tshuka, you'll have the chachma. And Amir Hashem, if we show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that tshuka for mitzvahs, which is really just a tshuka for him, then maybe he'll bring us geula. We'll be zoicha, not just to a geula of Mitzrayim, and not just to a geula of these Yidden Kadoshim who rebuilt families, but the geula shleima with Mashiach Zidkenu b'mehera b'yameinu. Amen.